Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a TV program that airs right after this program from 8 to 8:30 on W Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources, including these radio broadcasts, TV programs, and a host of other Bible-related material in helping you in your search for understanding God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will all be warmly received. In April, we began a short series that we're going to run for a few months entitled, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. And we're trying to give you reasons from the Bible of why we belong to the Lord's Church. Today, we want to look at, I'm a member of the Lord's Church because it's founded at the scriptural time, and that's on the Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ. The eternal kingdom of God is just that. It's eternal. No beginning, always in the mind of God, and it will have no end. It existed before time began, or the world was even created for that fact. In the mind of God, he had foreordained a plan which he had designed in eternal kingdom. God will reign and rule over it forever after this physical universe is destroyed with fervent heat, according to 2 Peter 3, 10-13. This is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical one. This fact has always been stumbling block for many, including the Jews when Christ came to earth. Many today, especially Jehovah's Witnesses and the premillennialists, believe the kingdom is physical and is yet to come. Both are unfortunately wrong. So many have become confused about the establishment of the kingdom. It was promised in the prophecy and fulfilled in the fullness of time. To prove this is true, we want to look at the kingdom in promise and the kingdom in existence. Both have something in common. Both point to Pentecost. Let us see if that conclusion is upheld by God's word. Note, the kingdom and the church and the house of God are the same. The children of God, the saved ones, are referred to in many ways in the pages of God's word. Understanding the words which are used, in particular, the things emphasized by each word, will aid us in our understanding that the kingdom and the church refer to the same people and the same institution. Those are the words, but they do have different meanings. Do we have words used in different ways but have the same person in mind? Maybe emphasizing a different relationship or function of that person, yet the words are different. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. A man, he can be a son, that's a relationship to his parents. He's a husband, that's a relationship to his wife. He's a father, that's a relationship to his children. Breadwinner, that's he provides for his family. A coach, that may be his profession. Now, that man can be all those things and still be the same person. A woman, daughter's relation to her parents. A wife, relation to her husband. Homemaker, referring to what she does. Secretary, may work outside the home. Are these two people the same people? Of course they are, but they have different roles and different functions. The people of God, well, the kingdom, that emphasizes the kind of government. The church, that's relationship to the world. We're called out of the world and we're set apart. House of God, that's our relationship to God. The body of Christ, that's a relationship to Christ and to each other. Sheepfold, that's the unity of all under one shepherd. The vineyard, that's the place of the work. Yet we're all talking about the same thing. We're talking about the people of God, and yet we're talking about them in different capacities. Are these all part of the kingdom of God? How can we show this by the scripture to be true? The church and the kingdom are used interchangeably. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, I want you to listen very carefully as we read of a promise that Jesus made to the apostle Peter. We're going to begin reading in Matthew 16, beginning in verse number 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded the disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. You see, he promised to build his church. He would give keys to Peter, the keys of the kingdom. In Acts 2:38, that's just what he did. If not the same, when did Peter use the keys of the kingdom? The keys of the kingdom opened up the church. We can read that in Acts 2, 1 through 47. In Matthew 16:19, binding and loosing is kingdom actions that will later also be church action in Matthew 18:17 and 18. The Lord's table is to be in the kingdom. Read Luke chapter 22, 29 and 30. Paul taught that those in Corinth, the church in Corinth, were to eat the Lord's Supper. That was in the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. All in the kingdom must be born again, John 3, 3 through 5. All members of the church are born again, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, by the incorruptible seed. The church and the house of God are the same. Read 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15. He wrote Timothy so he might know how to behave himself in the house of God, the church of the living God. You see, they are used interchangeably. If the kingdom and the church are different, then they must differ in some point concerning laws, the head, subject, or territory. But there is no difference. All of them have the same head, have the same subject, have the same territory. Christ is the king of the kingdom. Acts 17, verse 7, Revelation 1, verse 5. He also is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. New Testament contains the laws of the church, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Does the kingdom have different laws which pertain to life and godliness? Not according to Scripture. Subjects of the kingdom and the church both have been born again. We read that earlier in John 3, 3 through 5, and also in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. The territory is the same, the hearts of men, Hebrews 8, 10, Colossians 3, 15. So we can see that these terms are used interchangeably. The kingdom and the church, they are one and the same. Identifying the kingdom on earth. Was the kingdom established on earth? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25. Thus at the end of time, Christ will step away from it and give it back to the Father. If he's going to give the kingdom back to his Father, it must already be in existence, dear listener. How is the kingdom described in the Bible? It's described as the church of God, 1 Corinthians 1, 2. The kingdom of God in John 3, verse 3. The kingdom of Christ in Ephesians 5, verse 5. The body of Christ in Romans 12, verse 5. And the church of the living God in 1 Timothy 3, 15. All these terms apply to the same institution. As an organism, it is the body of Christ, with Christ as its head and the members constituting the body, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. The government is that Christ reigns as king, Ephesians 1, verse 20, 19 through 23, which he is also the head. The relationship to God and to his family, with God as his father and Jesus Christ as our elder brother. To the world, we are the church, the called out body of believers. We also notice all prophecy must be fulfilled. One of the things what Jesus did when he came to earth was to fulfill all prophecy concerning him. He didn't come to destroy but to fulfill, Matthew 5, 17 and 18. If the prophecies are not fulfilled, then the prophecy and the prophet are both false. This was stressed during the ministry in Luke chapter 21, verse 22. Similar words can be found at the end of his earthly ministry in Luke 24, 44, when he said all things must be fulfilled that were written in the Psalms, the law, and the prophets concerning him. Peter followed that same reasoning in his preaching in Acts 3, verse 18. This is one of the most reliable witnesses to the truth concerning Christ. Acts 13, verse number 29. Pointing hands to the ancient prophets. Zechariah 1, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 2, 2 through 3. These two prophecies tell the people the time period of the kingdom. In the last days, to embrace all nations, a mountain towering over other mountains, beginning in Jerusalem. Here is the promise for a king, and a king must have a kingdom. When, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the days of the fourth empire, that would be Rome, all in the future, this was a mystery then. Pointing hands to the gospel preparation. What did John the Baptist do? In Mark chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, and 3 chapter 2, he's still pointing to the future, yet it's drawing nearer. What is the message of Christ? Prepare, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. What instruction did he give the 70? In Luke 19:10. John and Jesus' message was the same. Shortly come to pass. When did Jesus teach his disciples to pray for? Pray for the kingdom in Matthew 6:10. Towards the end of his public ministry, and in Mark 9:1, some would be alive and would see the kingdom come with power. That means it had to be in existence, or there would have to be people over 2,000 years old. And Jesus made the glorious promise to Peter that we read in Matthew 16:18 to build the church and give him the keys of the kingdom. One thing keys do is open doors. Did Jesus build one thing and give Peter the keys to something entirely different? No. Jesus pointed to the kingdom in Luke 22:16-18. Even at that time of his ascension back to the Father, his disciples were still confused with the nature of the kingdom because they asked in Acts 1 and verse 6 if he was going to give the kingdom back to Israel. Again, they're in the physical and not in the spiritual. Pointing hands changed directions. After Pentecost, following the resurrection of Christ, all hands changed directions. Instead of pointing to Pentecost, now it points backwards to Pentecost. Once pointing to the future, now it pointed to the past. The past is the beginning at Pentecost. It was fulfilled in Acts 2:29-31. Jesus had ascended to the throne of David as king. He must have a kingdom. His reign had begun. Acts 8, verse 12. Kingdom is a present and accounted for. Difference being in the world and in the kingdom. Colossians 1, verse 13. The kingdom existed according to Hebrews 12:28. Christ has reigned and men have become subjects of that king. This kingdom was different than the kingdoms of the pagan world in Romans 14:17 and 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. The kingdom is in existence. Saints translated into it, he now rules and reigns and will reign until the end of time when he gives it back to his Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. Some contend that the kingdom was established during the preaching of John the Baptist. Some say it wasn't until 1914. Many other speculative dates have been offered by men. Yet in this study, we have clearly shown very plainly that all prophecy pointed to Pentecost, 50 days after the Lord's resurrection. And were those prophecies fulfilled? Isaiah 2:2-3 was fulfilled in Acts 2:16-17. Isaiah 2, verse 3, that all nations would flow into it and begin in Jerusalem, that was fulfilled in Acts 2, verse 5 and Acts chapter 10. And so that prophecy, too, has been fulfilled. When? When did it happen? In Acts 1:6-8, the work began in Jerusalem, but moved into the uttermost parts of the world, as the Great Commission was given to the apostles in Matthew 28:18-20 and Mark 16:15. Where did they begin? In Acts 2:1-4, they began in Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 66:5-8, you have the 5-point prophecy, a voice of noise from the city, Acts 2:2. A voice from the temple, Acts 2, the preaching of Peter. Number 4, voice of the Lord that renders recompense to his enemies, Acts 2:38. A nation born at once in a day, that was born on Pentecost in Acts 2. Did it come with power? Mark 9:1 said it would, and in Acts 1 verse 8, and in Acts 2 verse 1 through 4, it did indeed come with power. And so, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Because I belong to the kingdom of God that was established on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. That's the right time, that's the right place, and that's the right beginning of origin. Therefore, if the church that you belong to did not begin in Jerusalem and did not begin in the first century, then it is not the Lord's kingdom. Thank you.